Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 13. We're going to actually be looking at a number of passages because we really left off, I believe, in Titus and then 1 Peter and then Proverbs. It's all just building one upon another to secure the same thought in mind, and that is the responsibility of the worshiper of God towards governing officials. It's amazing, for all that is clearly written in the Bible about this subject, you would think that by the behavior of many professing believers within the church age that there has never been anything written about it at all, and we're just kind of left up in the air to do with it what we want. The fact is, there's plenty written about the responsibility of the believers in towards government in both testaments, period. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Three clear principles that really begins and ends any discussion as to the believer's responsibility towards government. In fact, just as a matter of review, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. The higher powers are the governing authorities. That's what it's talking about. That's the context of the passage. Let every soul, every person, so every believer, there's no exclusion to this, be subject. Subject yourselves unto the higher powers or the governing authorities. Why? For there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. There is no power except from God, and that speaks of the sovereignty of God. God is in control of all the affairs of all the nations, of all the world, all of history. We saw last time that God established the existence of a nation, duration, and its removal or end. We saw that in Acts 17 and also in Exodus chapter 9. There is no power except from God. And since there is no power except from God, then the powers that be are appointed by God. So governing authorities in every nation, in every land, throughout all of human history, are there to fulfill the plan of God. Now, someone would automatically say, wait a minute, I can't wrap my mind around that. Then don't. Wrap your mind around, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that be are ordained of God. Wrap your mind around that, instead of trying to figure out what you cannot understand, apart from the fact that God is sovereign. You say, well, look at Saddam and look at Armaginadab and look at Putin and look at President Bush and look at leaders from all these different countries and all these different lands. Look at the pharaohs, look at the Caesars. Just look at all these people. Yeah, look at them. Then wrap your mind around what it says here in verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Are you trying to convince me that God ordained the powers of Saddam Hussein and these other people? The answer is yes. Why? Well, who else did it? Okay, who else do you think did it? Well, it tells us right here in the verse, the powers that be are ordained of God. Because you don't like the powers that be does not give us the right to resist. And we're going to see why it's dangerous to do that. And again, I think the most important element of all this that gets ignored by so many today is the fact that government is established by God as a part of his divine plan for that nation. So we may, in our thinking, elect a government for X, Y, and Z. That may be our purposes. It may be our stated purpose. It may be our desire to elect certain officials to do certain things. And unless we're the biggest dunderheads in the universe, we have to conclude that God also has a plan, and his plan is far greater than our plan for anything. Where you have the lordship submission principle, that principle is established by God. And it doesn't matter what you and I think about the circumstances that we find ourselves in applying that principle, submitting to that principle. It doesn't matter whether we like the circumstance. It doesn't matter whether I like my boss at the job. It doesn't matter whether I like my husband. It doesn't matter whether I like the government. Where there is a lordship submission principle, it is far greater than our personal comfort or desires or likes or dislikes. That's not the point. The point is the powers that be are ordained of God. Wrap your mind and heart around that. Not trying to figure everything out because you're wasting your time. God is sovereign. And I think once a person finally goes, oh, that's it, then they get quiet, they get still, they accept it. And then God opens up their understanding. And until that happens, your understanding is your own. You fight and kick and get frustrated about that which is a waste of time. But once you submit to it, then you understand. You begin to see what this is all about. And even if you don't, it doesn't matter. You wrap yourself around this verse. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. God has a plan, an infinite divine plan for the United States of America that is not the same as the finite human plan for the United States of America. We have our plan. God has his plan. His plan is going to work. Ours will not. No matter what the United States or any other country attempts to do, the plans of man are not going to succeed apart from God. Why? Because government is established by God as a part of his divine plan for that nation. So you say, well, wait a minute. Our government does X, Y, and Z. Well, that's God's plan. Well, I don't like the way that government does X, Y, and Z. That's God's plan. That's God's plan for this nation. If you, as a nation, forsake the Lord, why should you be surprised that God lines things up according to his divine plan to chasten the nation? He's done it in the past. He's doing it now. He'll do it in the future. So why should you be surprised? I'm not surprised. God has a divine plan for the United States of America, and it's his plan. God isn't sovereign because you like the outcome of your circumstances. It doesn't matter what your circumstances. Listen, the world does not exist for me. I am not the center of anything. We got to really, do we even have to think this through? Is this something we have to sit down and contemplate, that the world is bigger than me and my desires and my objectives? I think people, they just go on through the day and they think the whole world revolves around them. They may not come out and say it, but they live like that. And if the world doesn't, you know, revolve around them that particular month, they pout and act a fool. Well, you think your world's going to change because you can pout and act a fool? The world's going to keep right on going. And God's plan is God's plan. And it's hard for people to swallow this truth, but you know what? You better swallow it if you expect to get well. Now turn to Titus, or should I say turn back to Titus. And we find that this isn't some isolated truth, but this is a truth that was taught the church through many years in the writings of Scripture. Put them in mind, the Cretans, to be subject to principalities and powers. Same ones. No different. To obey magistrates. Why? Because it was not in the nature of the Cretans to obey anybody. I tell you, you look at the society of the Cretans, they look more like the society of the Californians and many Americans, where there's such a tremendous emphasis on personal rights to the degree where if anyone in their thinking interfered with their perception of personal rights, they were ready to riot. This is happening in our country. Protesting all over the place and in the whole world. You say, are you trying to tell me that that's ordained of God? Well, you know what? You can read. You tell me what it means then. put them in mind to be subject to principle. That, you know, when you fail to understand history from the biblical perspective, it does not surprise me that you act a fool. To obey magistrates, to be ready for every good work. We see this over and over and over again. And I read you this quotation last time. I'm going to read it again because it's so applicable to today. This doctrine of obedience to the civil powers was highly necessary for the Cretans, who were reputed a people exceedingly zealous or jealous of their civil privileges and ready to run into a state of insurrection when they suspected any attempt on the part of their rulers to infringe their liberties. Does that sound familiar? It should ring true of every person in this room to understand this is how your society lives. People think that the government exists to satisfy my individual personal rights. How is that even humanly possible? That doesn't make any sense. There has to be a standard that people need to submit to. And the standard isn't my own individual rights. There's no way in the universe that any government could satisfy the personal rights of every single person. That's impossible. It's impossible. It's ridiculous to even think that you could do it. It's ridiculous to think that it can even be possible. Let me read on. The inherent problem with the readiness to riot was the problem not with Rome, but the Cretans themselves. It was quite clear and affirmed by Paul and so-called prophets of the Cretans that the people were ever liars, ferocious wild beasts, and sluggish gluttons. They thought that the government existed for them to continue in their vices. That's exactly what's happening in our country. It's no different, except the date. Everything else is the same. Let me read on. Such persons would feel little disposition to submit to the restraints of law. Are you kidding? I don't want to obey anything. If I want to drive 120 miles an hour, it's my right. No, it isn't. That's why you have signs and guys who drive beautiful motorcycles and wear nice shiny helmets and are wearing blue uniforms and drive black and white and sometimes unmarked vehicles to make sure to remind you, it's not your right to drive like a fool. That there are standards that you are to subject yourself to. And if you violate those standards, you're going to pay the price to do it. So if I want to drive 120 miles an hour, that's fine. Yeah, you go right ahead. You don't have any consideration for your neighbors around you driving, for people around you driving, for people you might kill. And many have been killed because of people who decide they want to drag race on city streets. Do you think they had a right to do that? Of course not. They had no right to do that. There was no right to govern them to be able to drive like a maniac. But they thought at the moment it was their inherent right to indulge in their sinfulness, and they did it. Let me read on. They were to obey magistrates, meaning they were to obey the rulers in every area. Not only that, but to be prepared to do every good work, which work obviously connects towards their behavior towards the aforementioned leaders. Period. Period. You know, your personal rights do not give you the liberty to just refuse to submit to any law. It's ridiculous. And as a Christian, it shouldn't even be an issue ever. And we talked about Proverbs, that it was the wicked that are in opposition to civil government. And the person who truly fears God will have nothing to do with them at all. I can't get myself involved with people who are lawbreakers. It's madness. We went to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and talked about praying for the government. Rather than being the antagonizers against the government, we need to pray that we lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty, that we would be ready witnesses as a testimony to God and submission to the government. We need to pray for that continually. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And remember, that was written at a time when Christians were getting killed by these horrific Roman leaders who blamed the Christians for everything. Everything that Rome perceived was bad was eventually blamed on the Christians, and the Christians suffered because of it. Yet Paul writes, submit to the government. Submit to the governing authorities. Don't fight. Don't resist. Went to 1 Peter chapter 2. In fact, go there. 1 Peter chapter 2. That's where we left off. And you see once again the same admonitions of 1 Peter 2. And remember, I mean, I just don't think people, they don't, we're just a bunch of rebels. That's what this is about here. People just don't want to obey because they think they got their rights. And you do have rights. Okay, look at 1 Peter 1 before you get to 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. They were scattered because of persecution, because of suffering. Yet what does Peter say to the believers to do, to the governing authorities, in this verse, in this chapter, chapter 2, verse 13? Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for whose sake? Not your sake, not my sake, but the Lord's sake. Nothing to do with us. It's a bigger plan. For the Lord's sake, for the testimony of the Lord, you submit. Even if and when you suffer for it. And it says, what's the ordinance of man? Whether it be to the king as supreme, okay, the leader of the people, the prince, the commander, the lord of the land, who is above the people, superior in rank, authority, and power, or unto governors, verse 14, as unto them that are sent by the Supreme One, in verse 13, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. This is clear. This is crystal clear right here. The word or in verse 14 is translated whether it be. So Peter got more specific as far as detailing the authorities that the believers were to submit to. The ordinance of man, the rulers of man. Okay, and so he tells you right here. Whether they be rulers, okay, governors or rulers. It's a very broad word. Broad meaning, it refers to a leader of any kind, a guide, a ruler, prefect, president, chief, general, commander, a sovereign. Anyone who was an officer administrating in a province in the name and with the authority of the Roman emperor. Listen, that covers it all. Also a governor or the governors referred to the governor of a province or a procurator who was an officer who was attached to a proconsul or a proprietor and had charge of imperial revenues. Those who, and we're going to deal with it in Romans, the issue, those who were tax collectors. Submit to it. There's no difference in Paul and Peter, none at all. Not only was submission commanded to any of these men in authority, but Peter went on to say in verse 14, those who are sent, or the representatives of government, who were sent to do the king's affairs. Okay? Did you see that? Because it's crystal clear. All right, now we'll go back to verse 14 again. Or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. That is exactly what Paul is going to say in Romans. Exactly the same thing. This is what he said in Titus. Exactly the same thing. The role of government was to, and twofold. Number one, punish evildoers. When people do evil, it's the government's role to punish them. You don't criticize the government when they're, and their authorities, and those appointed by them, okay, you don't criticize the government when the police are sent in to quell violence and insurrection and have beaten some heads. That's their responsibility. Because the minute that they start coming into your neighborhood, I guarantee you, you're going to pick up that phone and call 911. In fact, way before they get to your community, you're going to start calling. Go run to your closet and get your armory out and be ready. So I don't know who we think we're fooling. The minute fools start coming into your neighborhood, you're going to get prepared to take care of your business. And they start banging on your door, you're going to give them a reason why they shouldn't have came into your neighborhood, unless you don't have no brains. So don't hand me this nonsense about, well, it's just terrible what the government's doing, and I didn't like the fact that the police came by and it was so horrible they were beating the head of them people. They should have been thankful they didn't get shot, which isn't their right to do. You throw bricks at police, you know those bricks can kill somebody? Shucks, it can kill the protester. And see, a lot of people forget history. See, I'm older than some of you in here. I've been around, I was knowledgeable of a lot of things before you're leaving on this planet. I'm telling you, there was a time you threw a rock at a police officer, you're gonna get shot. They didn't tolerate that nonsense. And people were afraid of the police or they wouldn't do that. And as you look at each succeeding decade, people are more brazen. They've graduated from rocks and bottles to guns, assault weapons, to bombs. People aren't afraid to indulge their evil. They're not afraid to do it. It's the responsibility of government to punish evildoers, to bring swift vengeance or justice to those who are doers of evil or malefactors, which are troublemakers, and those who resist government. It is the government's responsibility not to praise or to play with evildoers, but to punish them. That's their responsibility. And they should be praised when they do it, because the more they do it and the swifter they do it, the less you have to worry about it coming in your neighborhood. See, the solution isn't running to the suburbs or living up on the hills or living in cities where they're too rich for the rabble-rousers that you think can't afford to move into the community. No, the solution is you support and praise government when they punish evildoers. That's what we should have been doing all along. Instead of criticizing the government when they do their role, we have encouraged insurrection. And we've done it so long that now there is no respect, inward respect towards government. So now we see government as the antagonizer of free men. It's amazing what people are led to believe. The school system have taught insurrection. They teach it. They teach insurrection against the government. It's standard teaching in colleges and universities now to be insurrectionist. It's amazing. Yet what is the believer to do? Clearly outlined in scripture. Number two, the role of government is to praise them and do well. Government is to compliment those who are acting right or living virtuously. If you live virtuously, you don't have to worry about government. We as believers are to live in this fashion before the watching world. It was said in Peter's day, it was said in Paul's day, and it should be throughout all of redemptive history. If we are doing what is right, we have no need to be afraid. Hey, if someone's driving by me at 100 miles an hour, I let him go. I'm looking for the police car behind me. And when he goes by me, do you think I worry about him stopping me? I don't slow down. What I got to slow down for? Besides the fact, you know, slow down for the cop car to catch this idiot. But it's amazing. You see a police car be on the side of the freeway. Everybody starts slowing down. I'm like, why? If you've been driving the speed limit, you got nothing to worry about. They go like from 80 to 20 on the freeway because suddenly, you know, they're afraid. That cop is thinking about nobody but the ticket that he's writing to the one sitting right there in front of him. If we were doing right, we wouldn't have any reason to worry about it. I don't have any reason to expect that the police would come into my house and arrest or kill me if I've done nothing to cause them to do that. I don't have a reason to think that one day my door is going to get blown down or battering ram down and someone's going to come in there with a shotgun or a Glock and do me in. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I don't think about those things. Those things don't concern my mind. But we need to be obedient, not because our conscience knows it is the right thing to do, not only because of that, because we definitely need to do it, but because we need to fear the wrath of God through government, which would be enacted upon me if I'm a lawbreaker. So conscience tells me the difference between right and wrong. if I'm going into a bank and I'm going to withdraw, you know, I go up to the bank and I hand her a deposit slip. The deposit slip has in it my account number. It has my name. It has the amount of money I want to take out of the account. And I have to sign it in the presence of a teller to make sure that it's who I am. And that presupposes I have a checking account in the first place. So I hand her the deposit slip and she opens it up. And it does not say, put all the money in this paper bag that I'm handing you. Okay? I assume that there's an account with my name on it that has something in it if I hand her a deposit, a withdrawal slip. Not, you know, all large bills, this brown paper bag. And I got a gun on you. Just the thought never crossed my mind to do that in the bank. Just go there, either withdraw or deposit, not, you know, withdraw everything. And everybody else is not. That thought never crossed my mind. Period. And if I did, I would expect the law to come and get me. I wouldn't try to God cloak this. I don't expect the governing authorities to come and put me in jail if I'm a law-abiding citizen. I don't expect it to happen, and it hasn't happened. I do expect the law to enact judgment if I possess illegal drugs, beat my wife and family, drive like I have no sense, revolt against the system, refuse to pay the IRS, and on and on and on. If I'm a violator of the law, of the land, I expect the governing authorities, which include the police, who are the enforcers of the law, and who are sent by God to do his bidding, to get me. That's their responsibility, is to get me. And all the prayer in the world and all the holy hocus pocus isn't going to matter. It's just like when some of these so-called pastors in Florida and these other places violated the law and stole and raped people and did whatever they did. And then all of a sudden, the governing authorities came upon them it swiftly and took them and put them behind in jail where they belong. Suddenly, the so-called church rallied around crooks. Now, all that was evil, all of it, because that man got what he deserved. I don't care what the so-called church has said. And they criticize the government. Why? The government did what it was supposed to do. And I praise the government. Even when Jim Baker was sentenced for 50 years, you know, for milking the church, you know, people criticized the judge. I didn't criticize the judge. They should have gave him 100. Why, you know, they said, well, it was an imbalance of, you know, well, it was an imbalanced sentence based upon what others have received who did similar or greater crimes. So what? So what? So what? Should have gave him 100 years. There is corruption in many police departments. Don't get me wrong, all over the world. The fact is that they are doing much more good by far than evil. You better thank God you have them. I do. I don't want to live in a place run by the anarchist. And there are people who live in places that are run by anarchists. Sure there is. Run by them. Where the hoodlums run the communities. This is the result of what happens when you complain too much to governing authorities. You get what you want. Wait a minute, Reverend, I didn't want that. Yes, you did, because you didn't know when to shut up. You kept complaining against governing authorities when they came into the communities and got the lawbreakers out of the community, and you complained about it, and you got on television, and you started blathering out a bunch of nonsense about your rights and police brutality, and the police said, fine. You can have these same criminals to run the community. And now the people are afraid. I'm afraid to go to the store. I'm afraid to step outside. I'm afraid. You don't realize you're responsible for that very thing. See, we don't want to face the fact we're responsible for a lot of these things that we have brought upon ourselves because we have tolerated anarchists and lawbreakers because we ourselves were anarchists and lawbreakers. We're going to learn later that we are also to pay taxes so that the government will function. And all that's the clear teaching of Scripture as well. And all attempts to try and revolt against paying taxes is revolt against God, and God's wrath through government will be enacted against you and against me if we carry on this way. Listen, if you don't pay taxes, I'm not going to pay taxes because I believe that taxation is against the Constitution. Yeah, you go right ahead. And when the IRS comes, and now that it seems to me that they're getting more bold. You know, they have rights to carry weapons and everything. If they feel as though you might be, get one of them, you might win Davidian nut jobs and honkering down in the mountains or somewhere, they start coming with packing. Now they're scared. People scared their lives. They have that authority to do that. When they come after you, don't you be surprised. It's just discrimination against me because I'm a black man. You are a criminal when you don't pay your taxes. You're supposed to pay taxes as a Christian because God commanded it. Well, Reverend, I just don't believe it. You ought to just shut up and pay your taxes. I said the government that you live under now is a million times better than the government that Paul and Peter lived under. And Peter and Paul said, pay your taxes. And Jesus said, pay your taxes. I never heard Jesus, because you're not in the church that teaches anything but a woo and a woo. And that ain't going to tell you anything. Because you have glorified ignorance as your Christianity, so-called, doesn't mean that it's not in the Bible. You just haven't read it. If you read it, you probably didn't obey it. Well, Reverend, what do you mean, Pastor? Don't mean nothing. That's from Jesus' day. It's just about a fish and a coin. It means you're the head, not the tail. You're still the tail. Stupid. Listen to this. Go back to verse 14 again. Or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. If I'm paying taxes and my neighbor's not, they're going to go right by my house and arrest the person next door not paying taxes. If I'm a law-abiding citizen and my neighbor is a thug, they're going to go right by my house and they're going to arrest my neighbor. Okay? If I'm at home and wife is making cupcakes and the next door neighbor is making pipe bombs, they're going to go right by our house and arrest the bomb maker. That's the way it should be. You know why? Because we're doing well. If a believer is doing well, then people that have a tendency to lump together those who profess to be believers doing stupid things like insurrection under the guise of Christian activism or civil disobedience. By doing well, you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So I can say, don't group me in with these nut jobs. And they just have to go, yeah, well, he's not out there, and move on to somebody else. For so was the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. That's bold. It is clearly stated as God's will that we live in such a way. No scripture properly interpreted would ever allow the kinds of rebellion and revolt that many believers are involved in today. No scripture could ever be used by anyone to revolt against the government. None. No scripture could ever be used by anyone to deny the punishment of believers by government when we violate the law. It is clearly the will of God that with well-doing or doing what is right and beneficial to those around us who are lost, in other words, our society, yet watching, that we will silence or put a muzzle on the critics' mouths, the mouths that are attached to the lack of intelligence of senseless and stupid people. They are. That's what they are. So let's not give them a reason to think that we are like them. No matter where these souls are, we as believers are to be model citizens by abstaining from the lust that drives and motivates the laws, and also to be model citizens in a society where rebellion against the government was always being stirred up. It's always being stirred up. I do not know a time of my entire life when there hasn't been some kind of rebellion in our government and against our government. I don't know any time. I don't know any time. I was born in the 50s. I've never known a moment when I knew anything where there wasn't some form of rebellion somewhere against something. It was real small when I was growing up, but boy, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. Now it's all anarchy. And now with the medium of the internet, man, your message can go throughout the entire world. And on cable and other mediums, you have certain cable programs that now will allow what I was watching, something called Free Speech TV. And I'm going, this is nonsense. This is insanity. The things they were saying, you know, to an anarchist mind would be like, ooh, yummy, yummy. To a thinking person, like, that doesn't make any sense. But it's all out there. Publications with self-publishers, you have to worry about getting rejected by Doubleday or these other publishers. You can just make your own publishing. The I Am Ignorant and Foolish People Publishing Company, you just print out whatever nonsense you want to put out there. So it's no longer a matter of going to Kinko's, all right, and making some Xerox copies and put them in those little binder clips. Oh, no, you can have a book published with your hatred and insanity. So anarchists and insurrection is all over. How to make bombs and how to make nuclear bombs, how to make pipe bombs and how to get poison and how to get anthrax. Things are on the internet. This is where we are right now as a world. And that's the tip of the iceberg of the insanity. The Christian ought to be a million miles away from all that. So much so that they won't even in their mind identify with any of that foolishness. Verse 16 is free. Live as free men, not bound by the restraints. In other words, live with the power of God and do that willingly. That's how you're free. Not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, you're free to serve. God freed us so that we can be servants. Freedom does not mean license to do evil, as Peter clearly pointed out. We are to be free and live as such. We are not to use our freedom as a covering or a veil for a pretext to do wrong. And that's what all this Christian activism, so-called, is not. And Christian civil disobedience is nothing but a cloak and a pretense, a veil, and a pretext to do evil. That's all that it is. It's all it ever has been. It's all it's ever going to be. Liberty and freedom in Christ does not give any believer the right to live in wickedness, not being ashamed to break the laws. You break the laws, you're going to pay the price, and it's right that you do. And don't call me when you're in jail because I'm not interested. Listen, the very last person on this planet you want to contact is Harley Howard. Listen, the last human alive. Because if you call me, I'm going to tell them how long you're going to lock the fool up. Well, you know, according to the laws of the land, we can only lock him up X number of years. We'll do it. And I'll be there in court to give my approval about that. I'm the last person you want to talk. If you think you know me, please don't call. I did something stupid. I got locked up. Let me call Pastor Howard. No, don't do that. Don't do that, please. I need him as a character witness. Oh, yeah, I'm coming. But you made a grave mistake. Reverend Howard, would you like to speak? Yeah, if you don't mind. Yeah, sure, come on. You swear to tell the truth, whole truth? I sure do. That's it. Okay, how you know this brother? The person used to be a member of the church and blah, 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 blah. Well, the person did thus and such. Really? He did? She did? Yeah. Well, why am I here, sir? Well, you're here because they gave your name as a character reference. And they figured you would speak in behalf of him. Well, they were wrong. I'm speaking behalf of the law. What is the maximum sentence that can be inflicted upon this idiot? Well, 20 years. Well, my personal and my biblical recommendation, because I am a law-abiding citizen, is that you give the fool 20 years to think about it. Is that it? Thank you, Mr. Howard. You're welcome. Okay. Back my car going home. And they're probably like, I'm the last person in this universe you want to call. The last one. See, I got pimped one time. One time. They found out I was used. And I said, never again. Last person. I'm going for the jugular. Lock the fool up. True liberty is not living as we please, but as that which pleases God as his slaves. I don't get to live anywhere I want to. I'm free to serve. That's the whole purpose of being set free. We're free from sin so that we can have this freedom to serve the Lord. Honor all men, verse 17. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. It keeps saying the same thing. Have value towards all men. I still think the context has to do with governing authorities. Love the brotherhood. In other words, be fond of and love dearly the family of brothers and sisters in Christ. Fear God. Be terrified at God and esteem the king. It's so plain. I mean, the idea of anything else is just, it's just exercising wickedness. Now go back to Titus, chapter 3. It's, anything else really is just designed to entertain wickedness. It's garbage about Christian activism. It's just another, tastier name for rebellion. It's the same junk. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. That's the same thing that Paul already said in 1 Timothy 3. We can't just pick portions of scripture to perceive preconceived ideas that don't exist. And people do that if they want to protest a certain thing, and they want to just, I think one of the greatest the stupid things I've seen was in the early protesting against abortion. And that is that the things that really disturbed me was when I was doing live radio, I had people calling me a murderer. I'm like, who are you? Well, you don't get out there and protest. So here's their grand conclusion. You don't protest against abortion, so this means you are a murderer. I had someone actually call me that. I'm not going to tell you what I told him, but let's just put it this way. He didn't call again. So I'm not out there protesting. So the conclusion was, because you're not out there on the line with us, that must mean that you are in support of abortion. No. I've never been in support of murder, and I don't plan to be in support of it at all. So then someone will hear that and say, well, wait a minute. Are you suggesting that people who abort their babies are murderers? I don't have to suggest anything. What do you think it is? What else could it possibly be? Do you think that women who have abortions ought to be given prison sentences? They committed murder, did they not? See, people can't wrap their heads around logic. So then they bypass the logic. It all becomes an emotional issue. It's no longer, let's look objectively. A baby is a human. If I shoot the baby when she's 1 year old, or if I shoot the person when he's 7 years old, or the woman aborts the baby before the baby is born, it's still a human. Murder is murder. And listen, an abortion is a premeditated murder, no matter how you slice it. So objectively, one must conclude if you commit murder of any kind, yeah. What's confusing about that? Oh, this is an emotional issue. Well, you know what? I just don't get caught up in emotion. I'm looking at this thing logically. And don't ask me about abortion because I already told you what I think about it. We should lock up the doctor. Yeah, him too. And the nurses. And the medical profession and where the money trail goes, because all about the money, where all this junk comes from, that supplies the ability to kill our society. 14, 15, 20 million babies murdered. Why is that something that's not outraged our country? You know why? Because we don't look at it objectively. We want to get rid of this thing, as they call it, as fast as we can so we can continue to indulge in our lust. It's murder, plain and simple. So I don't have to get out on a line holding up some sign. Why should I need to do that? I never endorsed it in the first place. And I never would under any circumstance. What if the child is retarded? The only one retarded is you. What is that? Here's a society that claims it cares for disabled people. Then we want to murder them before they're born. Incredible. It never ceases to amaze me how people can come up with this nonsense. I don't have to go to jail to prove I'm against abortion. I just make sure people I know don't get it by telling them what I'm doing now. And see, it keeps me out of jail so I can keep telling the truth. And I don't have to, listen, as a believer in Christ, I don't have to think this through that abortion is wrong. Anyone, you know, sitting in some doctor's office or sitting at home trying to think whether abortion is wrong is someone who needs to examine whether they're a believer. You can't use scripture or misuse scripture to do what you want. And the point I was trying to make, I didn't want to forget the point, was then when that part of extremism went out of favor, then you had people killing doctors and blowing up abortion clinics, and they were justifying what they were doing. Oh, I get it. Let's prevent the people from killing babies by killing the people killing babies. And somehow or another, in your twisted logic, that makes sense biblically. Well, where? Next you want to come and kill me because I'm not on the line. That's how this twisted logic continues to digress. It doesn't make any sense. So then those who aren't for you are against you, and so you start persecuting them. And there have been many persecutions and threats against pastors that wouldn't get on the line. Stupid stuff. People aren't believers at all. It's ridiculous. The Cretans were no longer to be rebellious against the government and the governing authorities by their actions and by their speech. They were to be the best citizens they could be so that the Lord and his word were not spoken against, way beyond us and what we want to do, way beyond our reputation. You say, does that mean you shouldn't criticize the government? No, I didn't say that. As I said before, I think in our society you have the privilege to say things to government. But I would never, under any circumstances, if I have in the past as a joke, forgive me for doing it, but I would never, ever endorse insurrection as a means of anything. I would never say you ought to overthrow the government. I told you I had a former member who wanted me to do that. He was serious. The man was a whack job. I want you to come to Washington. We got to do something about our government. And I thought he was joking. This was in La Mirada. I thought he was kidding. He wasn't joking. He said, I want to pull you. Pull me to the side. I'm like, okay, well, what's going on? Well, I know how you feel about the government. Evidently not. He must have misunderstood something. He wanted me to take a trip with him to Washington with some pistoles and take care of some business. And he was serious. I said, I'd rather just vote, thank you. Now, excuse me while I leave you alone to your insanity, because, you know, if you want to go, you go ahead. And I told him, I said, and when you go, I'm going to let them know you're on the way. Did you ever ask me to do something that stupid again? Man, you crazy? I just prefer to vote. I don't know how you concluded by listening to anything I had to say that I want to get into some doggone truck with you and go to Washington to shoot some officials. Are you insane? Man, leave that medicine alone. Taking all that back medicine. Stuff is a warp your brain cell. Oh, wide-eyed and crazy. You go right ahead, and when you come, let them know you're coming. They can shoot you up behind before you even get into the border. Another reason why Paul commanded the Cretans to be different, besides what we've already seen, was in verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's the behavior of the insurrectionists. That's their life. You look at all these characteristics, this is what they do. This is exactly what they do. Foolishness, disobedient, deceived. They do everything for lust and pleasure. They live in malice and envy and hate. And they hate each other. They hate humanity. They don't care about humanity when they want to do things, when they break the windows of store owners who've done them no harm and steal. How is that justifiable in any society? The police ought to get that and beat them heads. They'll go into a community. They'll go into an area. And the minute that fool hits somebody with a sign, you know store owners gonna lose everything they got. Innocent people have to suffer because of the stupidity of a society given over to the less, and a police department, governing authorities that don't have the gumption to take care of by beating them heads. That's what they need to do and end this madness. I just don't think you ought to say that, Reverend. I know, because you sitting in that high house somewhere where no one that you know that you left the community, okay, then folk in the community that you left when you moving on up, and you got your gated community and your 24-hour security patrol. Now you want to dictate to people living down on the bottom of the hill where you used to live when you used to call the police and be a snitch, and now you want to act like you never done that. So now you want to tell me I shouldn't do that. And why are you living in a bunker? Hypocrite. You want to talk about living in the hood? You got a house down there in Newport Beach. That's no hood. Why don't you tell people where you really live? Stop acting like a hypocrite. It's foolishness. You got to live in the community with every window barred. It's like having your own little private prison. The only difference is you're the warden. But it's prison. Our society has lives in neighborhoods, but we imprison ourselves in our own homes. And then want to criticize the government? If you had encouraged the government to come in there and clean up the community, you wouldn't have to have a bar nowhere near your windows and have iron rod doors because you don't trust people living in your neighborhood. This is all the reaction and the fruit and the consequence of living foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful of hating one another. You don't even know your neighbor 5 feet away, and you don't want to. Foolish, unintelligent, unwise, disobedient, impersuadable, and noncompliant. This isn't just acts of people. This is who they are. They're never going to do right. They can't be persuaded to do anything apart from their own lust and pleasures. The sea means the seduced and the wayward, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, involuntary or voluntarily, a slave to and in bondage to all kinds of sin, various ungodly and forbidden cravings and sensual delights. This is what they're bound to. This is how they live. And this is what motivates them to do everything they want to do. So if they want to come and take something, they do it. Their lust tells them to do it, and they do it. They don't go, well, you know what? That's my neighbor. I shouldn't do that. They're not thinking what's right and wrong. They're unintelligent and unwise. They're going to do whatever they want to do. And this is our society. This is America. It's a picture of America. Rebellion against the Roman authorities and authority in general had nothing to do with injustice as much as it had to do with indulgence. And if a society feels that their indulgences are being restricted, they will riot every time. So anything they felt as though were restricting their so-called rights in the government, oh yeah, they're going to fight for it. In our society, you believe you deserve a free education, a free health care? No, you don't. What do you mean free health? What's free? Someone's got to pay for it. Oh, I get it. Money's just going to happen. Maybe you'll have the word faith people run the healthcare system. They can just speak money to existence. You got a man who spends 7, 8, 9, 10 years in college, graduate school, learning to be a doctor. So he dons on his uniform. He goes into a hospital, right? He expects to be paid. Why not? He's doing a tremendous job, a tremendous service, and I applaud them, especially when I need them, okay? And they do their business, and you don't think they should get paid for? Because you think he deserves to take care of you for nothing? Well, when did this mindset happen? Because it used to be quite different. When I grew up, it was quite different. It wasn't always like this. Some of you youngsters, that's all you know. You raised a generation where everything's supposed to be free. No, it isn't. And they're supposed to just give you what you want. Well, no, it ain't going to happen. That doesn't make any sense. Why don't you apply that nonsense to your job? When you go to your job and you work 40, maybe 50, maybe 60 hours a week. It was a busy week. And you go into HR, human relations, and you're going to get your check. And you go up to that window. And you Mr. and Ms. Mouth about free health care. How the government owes you free medical care, and you don't think to apply that same nonsense to your own existence, and you go up to HR, go up to the window, and you'd already spent the money. You're just trying to beat that check into your checking account, and when thank you so much for your kind service, and close the window. Now I know you're not just gonna walk away and go, that's it, I'm good with that. You knock that window right off the hinges. Pull that woman right across that table. Where my money? Blankety, blankety, blank, blank, blank. Throw her back across and start burning that building down, acting a fool. So it only applies to your indulgence. See how stupid that is? People don't even think about that. So you think the government owes you nothing. The government is not designed by God to satisfy your indulgence or what you think you need. That's not the purpose of government. It may be what you think it is, but you know your thinking's wrong. We're not finished yet. We're still gonna talk about it. I didn't grow up in a society years ago where it was deemed that you deserve free whatever. It's free day. All these, it began with the entitlement programs, with democratic entitlement programs, where they made people think and generations think that the government owed them everything, especially us. And now you have whole generations growing up expecting everything to be handed to them. Yeah, but I tell you what, they're going to keep raising them taxes and making you think that they love you so much they're going to give you everything that you want. No, they're not. Because, they can't keep taxing that dollar forever. Because like most sensible folks, you know, we can just put our money in gold or put it in euros or something else and let this country go down the tubes and move to England. You don't think that's happening? You better wake up. A lot of these so-called actors and actresses, they don't live in America. They live overseas. They got little two-bit residents in America, but they live overseas. They don't live in America because they know this country's collapsed. They're just waiting for the whole thing, the shoe to fall, so they can get on their private jet and go on where they really live. What happened to so-and-so? He used to do what? He's in Europe. He's in France. He ain't thinking about America. He's spending them euros big time over there right now. He got wise. Said, this country going on the toilet. I got to get out of here. Lord, thank you again that as far as the Bible's concerned, the issue of what we are to do as far as government goes is crystal clear. And as long as we are law-abiding citizens, Lord, and do what you tell us to do, Lord, if we get persecuted, it will be for what's right. Lord, I just pray that we would have an understanding that we can't break the laws without expecting consequence from you. Let us be law-abiding citizens. Let us be the model and example of those who are thankful to you, Lord, because we know that you are sovereign in control of it all. Blessed giving today. In Jesus' name, amen.